we have never yet failed to give all that is needed in that cause, and we never will fail in it. In order to increase our defense effort rapidly enough to meet the danger that we face, we shall have to make many changes in our way of living and working here at home. We shall have to give up many things we enjoy. We shall have to work harder and longer to prevent runaway inflation and runaway prices. We shall have to impose certain restrictions upon ourselves. The Congress has today completed action on legislation to enable us to channel the necessary effort to defense production, to increase our productive capacity, and to hold down inflation. After this legislation is signed, I intend to talk to you again to explain what your government proposes to do and how each citizen can play his part in this national effort. As we move forward to arm ourselves more quickly in the days ahead, and as we strive with the United Nations for victory in Korea, we must keep clearly in mind what we believe in and what we are trying to do. We also want the rest of the world to understand clearly our aims and our hopes. First, we believe in the United Nations. When we ratified its charter, we pledged ourselves to seek peace and security through this world organization. We kept our word when we went to the support of the United Nations in Korea 2 months ago. We shall never go back on that pledge. Second, we believe the Koreans have a right to be free, independent, and united as they want to be. Under the direction and guidance of the United Nations, we, with others, will do our part to help them enjoy that right. The United States has no other aim in Korea. Third, we do not want the fighting in Korea to expand into a general war. It will not spread unless communist imperialism draws other armies and governments into the fight of the aggressors against the United Nations. Fourth, we hope in particular that the people of China will not be misled or forced into fighting against the United Nations and against the American people, who have always been and still are their friends. The only communist imperialism which has already started to dismember China could gain from China's involvement in the war. The communist imperialists are the only ones who can gain if China moves into this fight. Fifth, we do not want Formosa or any part of Asia for ourselves. We believe that the future of Formosa, like that of every other territory in dispute, should be settled peacefully. We believe that it should be settled by international action and not by the decision of the United States or any other state alone. The mission of the Seventh Fleet is to keep Formosa out of the conflict. Our purpose is peace, not conquest. Sixth, we believe in freedom for all the nations of the Far East. That is one of the reasons why we are fighting under the United Nations for the freedom of Korea. We helped the Philippines become independent, and we have supported the national aspirations to independence of other Asian countries. Russia has never voluntarily given up any territory it has acquired in the Far East. It has never given independence to any people who have fallen under its control. We not only want freedom for the peoples of Asia, but we also want to help them to secure for themselves better health, more food, better clothes and homes, and the chance to live their own lives in peace. The things we want for the peoples of Asia are the same things we want for the people of the rest of the world. Seven. We do not believe in aggressive or preventive war. Such war is the weapon of dictators, not of free democratic countries like the United States. We are arming only for the defense against aggression. Even though communist imperialism does not believe in peace, it can be discouraged from new aggression if we and other free peoples are strong, determined, and united. Eight, we want peace and we shall achieve it. Our men are fighting for peace today in Korea. We are working for peace constantly in the United Nations and in all the capitals of the world. Our workers, our farmers, our businessmen, all of our vast resources are helping now to create the strength which will make the peace secure. We want peace not only for its own sake, but because we want all the peoples of the world, including ourselves, to be free, to devote their full energies to making their lives richer and happier. We shall give what help we can to make this universal human wish come true. We invite all the nations of the world, without exception, to join with us in this great work. The events in Korea have shown us again all the misery and horrors of war. The North Koreans have learned that the penalties of armed conflict fall as heavily on those who act as tools for the communist dictatorship as they do on its victims. There will be no profit for any people who follow the communist dictatorship down its dark and bloody path. Against the futile and tragic course of dictatorship, we uphold for all people the way of freedom, the way of mutual cooperation and international peace. We assert that mankind can find progress and advancement along the path of peace. At this critical hour in the history of the world, our country has been called upon to give of its leadership, its efforts, and its resources to maintain peace and justice among nations. We have responded to that call. We will not fail. The task which has fallen upon our beloved country is a great one. In carrying it out, we ask God to purge us of all selfishness and meanness, and to give us strength and courage for the days ahead. We pray God to give us strength, ability, and wisdom for the great task we face.
From the White House in Washington, D.C., you have heard an address by the President of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
This broadcast has come to you through the CBS Department of Public Affairs. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.